fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. No waffling. Everything is black and white. Bring it. This is Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Have a nice day yourself. It's Brady and Walker. Greg Brady, Andrew Walker, George Russickson here. Andrew Walker will be back on Tuesday. We do not have a Labor Day broadcast for right now, but that is indeed the case. It's up to a high of 27 degrees. Well, let's call it a little lower than that. How about 22 or 23 today? As like we said, it was a real one-off to have that Humidex alert 2 days ago, but it'll only be 22. 12 degrees now. It'll be snowing in 8 weeks. What do we care? Summer almost over. Are you enjoying the last remaining hours of summer, George Russick?
You said snow in 8 weeks, and it
kind of reasonable.
Kinda
eight, nine?
That just shook me to the core that you just said that.
By the time the World Series rolls around, the Toronto Blue Jays did win last night. They got a good outing from Marcus Stroman as they really begin, I think, what most people consider playing out the string. They got the win and didn't get swept by the Boston Red Sox, didn't fall under the 500 mark. They'll be off tonight and tomorrow. They welcome in Derek Jeter for the final time ever. The Detroit Tigers on the last game last night, they got hammered by the Yankees, but they did the Derek. My assumption is the Derek Jeter stuff is happening on Friday at Rogers Center, but it happened last night in the last game of the series. I don't care either way. We were talking before about what the line is for what star players sort of deserve this. Like Teemu Selanne, had Teemu Selanne come out and said, this is very much my last year in the NHL last year, would every rink have done something for him? 29 NHL rinks, would they have, because everybody makes a visit to everywhere now, if Steve Nash does that this year? We've got Rivera and Jeter back-to-back. I'm not knocking their greatness, but I don't know when the last time we've seen this. In pro sports and somebody basically does a retirement tour, but you have to worry about presents. It's no gifts. You ever see
it? Weird.
No gifts.
And baseball seems to be the only sport you can do that in. It's not like Peyton Manning's going to get honored. Oh, thanks for coming into our stadium and kicking our ass twice a year, Peyton. And here's a new car or something.
It's only if you got that former team link, right?
Right.
If Peyton Manning goes back to Indianapolis, you understand when they honor Peyton Manning. Or, you know, Michael Jordan's a member of the Washington Wizards and happens to play in Chicago. But you can't do a Michael Jordan, arguably the greatest basketball player that ever lived, didn't do a, hey, I'm just shutting it down a year from now. So you know what I like? I like soapstone carvings, skis, mopeds. Just letting you know, 6 months in, I'm registered at Crate and Barrel, the Bay, and Hudson's.
Playing,
you can't do that.
Marshall five hands Fields. Of blackjack at 10 grand a pop?
Yeah, you should just get Michael Jordan blackjack chips.
Does that?
Chips. Just get him casino chips
some
at
credit.
The end of the day.
Some cred.
It's all he wants. Sneakers and casino chips. Either way, last night Detroit ended up losing. Seattle ended up losing. And the Yankees moved back to within 3 games of the wild card. It's such a great race in the NL, too. Like, our general sense is the team in this city won't be participating in the wild card race. We'll let you know if they get back in, but right now they're not in the race. They're not. Are they the last? Is everybody else below the Blue Jays not in the race, but they are? Come on. Hold me, don't play that way. But if they do get back in, we'll find a way to let you know. But the National League is just absolutely fantastic with Pittsburgh. St. Louis played a big game yesterday afternoon and the Pirates won at home. We'll see where it goes.
Are you cheering for the Cardinals in that? Do you want the Cardinals to get in?
Never been a Cardinals fan.
Because I understand
you to root against them.
You're a great organization. I get it, St. Louis. You win a World Series. But if the Giants get in too, they're a team that can make some damage as well. But you got to have that soft spot for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Even though
they've been good the last couple of years, you want them to go deep into the playoffs, and you'd love to see. I'm sure MLB would shudder if the Pittsburgh Pirates made it to the World Series. But that's a team you kind of want to get behind. Not these other teams with all the success like the Giants and the Cardinals.
the Miami Marlins be a great story if they made the wild card game? Even they went on the road. They're five games out.
And Henderson Alvarez pitches like a complete game one hitter in that wild card and they move on?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. You mean the guy who'd be Toronto's ace right now?
Right.
They kept him?
Yeah, right. Sure. I just threw a name out there.
Hey, listen, they had to make the trade.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Blue Jays, when that's on a platter, you make that trade. But it's going to be exactly what the Marlins wanted long term, too. You can push in with money. You want to pull it back out, that's fine. What I don't get is if that Marlins team is transplanted to another market, whether people would have been really excited at the time. Because at the time, it just felt like such a bait and switch to sign, you know, all the guys they signed and sign Reyes and sign Burley and sign the big reliever that they had and then just pull it all back. I don't know.
Are you like me? Do you get caught up in just forgetting that Josh Johnson was the key to that deal? He was supposed to be the front of the rotation ace for this team, and that blew up in the Blue Jays' face. If Josh Johnson was Josh Johnson of a few years ago, this trade would still be looking great, and I think the Blue Jays pick up his option.
I agree. I totally agree. And the funny thing is about Josh Johnson is we talked about him more in the first 3 months of the year because we'd say Mark Burley was sort of not the throw-in, but you had to take Mark Burley and a big fat contract. As consistent a pitcher as he is, it's like the guy we had on yesterday. I said, well, look, which of these Blue Jays starting pitchers are incredibly disappointing? And he couldn't really. He's just like, well, collectively. No, but there's not one that you go, oh, my heavens, what happened? Yeah. Either compared to last year or just compared to their career trajectory in the least. We'll do now and then. August 28th coming up at 5:50 with our producer, Ryan Favreau. It's 5:37 now, 12 degrees, 22 under a mix of sun and cloud, mostly sun this afternoon. So Thursday, George Russick has a sports update next with all the important baseball scores from last night and yesterday afternoon. It's Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Now, more Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars.
So, but 9 hours ago, a little trouble in the skies, the not-so-friendly skies, just over at Pearson Airport. They got away from Pearson Airport, and then eventually were taken down by some CF-18 fighters. So a Sunwing flight was on its way to Cuba. Oh, you can imagine, this time of year, Cuba is just getting ready for NFL season. Many Cubans. See, you go down to Cuba, they'd be only focused on their fantasy football drafts, really, and why the CFL East is so bad. So the Sunwing flight was forced to turn around and return to Toronto's Pearson Airport after two disruptive passengers caused a major disturbance. Now, anybody who's flown, your heart kind of palpitates thinking about that. But then you find out the passengers were female. Not that many female hijackers. Like, I'm not thinking that it's Gary Oldman in Air Force One. If there's two ladies coming out of the airplane lavatory, the report, George, is that they consumed a significant amount of duty-free alcohol in the airplane lavatory. Essence. Like, and lit it, but also lit a cigarette, and that triggered the smoke detector.
Oh, my goodness. So, how much in the bag are they that you have to turn the plane around, Greg?
They got into a physical altercation with each other. Hot. And made a threat against the aircraft. Less than hot. Less hot than the physical altercation, which was, quote, considered non-credible given their condition, said Janine Chapman. But the pilot said they were being disruptive. They reported this to NORAD, which hasn't got this much attention since Matthew Broderick in War Games. While the plane was in U.S. airspace and the airplane turned around and landed. Well, I mean, what kind of charges? How on earth? Like, if you wake up and you go, holy cow, I am, I gotta... God, it feels like a hammer against my head. What did I do last night? You threatened a pilot and forced NORAD to turn your plane around, escorted by fighter jets.
That's just one thing you can't do on a plane, is utter some good threats out there.
Well, there's several things that you can't do.
Where the hell
should
I start? A blanket covers a lot of that stuff up, Brady. A blanket covers a lot of
that
stuff up.
It's like a family feud. Name something you can't do on an airplane. Masturbation. Number six. Hijacks, number one. Masturbation's number six.
My flight to Serbia, I was sitting beside this older lady, and we were just chit-chatting. She goes, if you want to nap and lean into me, that's fine. I'm like, I'm not going to lean into a complete stranger. That's weird.
Well, not you anyway. It's a wonderful invitation.
It was weird.
My worst experience flying home, and I hate saying this, please follow along. And Max, please play no music whatsoever underneath this. There was somebody coming from Islamabad, and they were about to start their life in North America. So they were fascinated by North America. I'm just looking to sleep. I'm going Heathrow to Toronto, summer of 2004, coming from Portugal, a couple weeks before I'm getting married. And this guy was, you know, he's decked out. He's got the sandals. He's legit. And but here's the problem. He watches all this American television. So he's asking me whether I watch these shows. And I, at first I'm saying, I'm trying to be polite and saying yes to a couple of shows. And then I'm realizing once you say yes to a show, you're on that show for 45 minutes. He's like, do you watch Dharma and Greg? And the funny thing is he's found out my name is Greg. And he's like, oh, like Greg from Dharma and Greg. And I'm like, yes, I guess that was, is that the most famous Greg ever? Is the Greg from Dharma and Greg? No, it's not. But in on Islamabad's, you know, best television channel, you watch that show. So now I'm telling him how not attractive Jenna Elfman is. And it just takes off from there. I couldn't get the guy to shut up for 7 straight hours.
Where
he was so excited. And he was flying to Toronto. He was going to move here. He's probably a listener. Now, so
where does it get to that point where you want to be polite and then you're like, okay, enough.
I don't know what you do. You can't. You only very early in a flight if there's empty seats can you get away.
You're not gonna take the shoes off the guy in the plane, are you?
No, you can't do that. I'm a massive. You shouldn't wear shorts on a flight. You have to be coming back from somewhere absolutely tropical,
right?
To be next to another guy's bare legs that you don't know for 6-7 hours. Yeah. Maybe it's one thing if it's a little commute, like if it's a little hour and a half puddle jumper and you're flying from Toronto to Boston or Toronto to you know, O'Hare. But all right, so we'll see what happens to these ladies.
I just can't imagine. How pissed are you if you're on that flight?
Absolutely.
We're turning around because of these two. This is happening?
And this is happening. There is no travel company that's going to give you an extra night comped in Cuba. You won't be able to change your return flight coming back. So these two unruly female passengers boozing it up in the bathroom where you really can only fit one person. I've tried. And they light a cigarette and they fight each other. I don't know how old these women are. I can't wait to find out. I can't wait to see the mug shots.
That's awesome.
I can't wait. It's sort of like that. This is a terrible story. Do you remember that John Wayne Bobbitt story? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
where the woman cuts off his member? And you're all like, I wonder what this woman looks like. Like, is she angry? Will she be angry looking in the mugshot? Or will she just be like, have her arms in the air and go, you got to do what you got to do. I'd had it with him. I'd had it with his shenanigans. He didn't deserve to have it anymore.
This dude had a career after that.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. He was in a movie or something. I'm not going to tell you. I remember Lorena Bobbitt. That was that was her name. They were married for 6 years. They stayed together and didn't divorce for another year and a half after that.
Talk about awkward.
Like that's love.
What are we having for dinner? Sausage. Much, oh God.
Come on, George. I mean, it's just sitting right there. God. You don't have to grab it just because it's right there on the buffet.
No place. Cucumber in the salad.
All right. Save that stuff. Salmon will appreciate that stuff more than
I will. All right. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Let's do Now and Then, 5:49.
Now and Then, a hopefully but potentially not entertaining look back at some of the great and not so great moments in this day's history. I'll be back in
time. There was a lot of emotional abuse in that Bobbitt relationship, so it's not funny. Ryan Favreau's here. What's happening?
Funny.
They have a terrible flight experience. I mean, I'm not even talking turbulence. I'm just like awful passengers.
No, nothing really terrible like that. You know, I've had the old 12-hour layover thanks to
delays.
Yeah,
weather, sure,
stuff like that. But you know, you can't complain. Nothing terrible. NORAD wasn't involved.
You just went to you had a big flight to Mexico. It was a little party years on. See, because when people are going south, they tend to really. It's like, can you let loose when you get there and I can get away from you? Can that happen? But they're going crazy in the in you know, the second they get on the plane, they're partying down.
Why can't I take off my shoes? You can't do that?
No,
I'm George. If you're wearing socks, yes.
See, yeah,
though.
Yeah,
I do that, and I don't care. Like I know I don't have really smelly feet. Like if you know you have funky feet and you're doing that, you're gross. But socks on occasionally, like I don't broadcast it, but I'll like a sneaky take off.
I'm sitting with the inimitable Rash Madani, and we're having dinner in the Blue Jays media area Monday night. And I see I there's a guy, you can kind of see up the stairs to some of the seats in the actual press box. All of a sudden I see this giant foot, barefoot. And then I see the guy start scratching in between his toes.
Oh,
like he kind of kicked his loafer off or whatever and just started giving himself a rub down.
Sometimes John Sterling's feet just get itchy.
Is that the ice cream story?
What about when people bring leftovers on the plane? That's the best. I've had that experience, too.
I brought a salmon on the plane once from BC.
I flew out of Buffalo chicken wings from the Anchor Bar. Somebody started rocking on the plane.
People get cheesecakes.
It's okay. Whatever. Make yourself happy.
So what happened on this day in history for our old and our older and younger listeners alike?
Thank you, Greg. Well, on this day in 1963, Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech happened. So,
have we had a really famous contemporary speech? Where everyone goes, what Lenz did one in 1981, the Polish labor leader.
I believe Glenn Grunwald in 1998 after Daryl Walker's first season in charge as Raptors head coach.
That's a good one.
One of the best sports speeches when in Cincinnati was when the Bengals head coach Sam Weich got on the mic and he yelled at people for throwing stuff. And he said, "You don't live in Cleveland, you live in Cincinnati." That's great. I love intercity warfare. That's fantastic.
Pretty good.
We need more coaches to do that.
1994, the number one movie 20 years ago today. Natural Born Killers. That's right up there with one of the weirder movies ever. And thoughts on Juliette Lewis?
No.
Everybody.
No. Just not interested.
Correct. Both of you. Yeah.
She was probably on that plane last night. Are you kidding me? Like, I can't sell crazy somewhere else. I'm not that interested. I knew a girl in school. Natural Born Killers was her favorite movie, like in journalism school. And I'm going, you shouldn't say that to people out loud. Like, you can enjoy it as a cinematic experience, but it can't be your favorite movie.
Yeah.
That means you have plans for bad things.
I love that American Psycho. Yeah. One of my favorite films, too.
That movie.
American Psycho. Get my 9-year-old nephew around the TV and watch some American Psycho.
I wish there were more movies about the Pentagram Killer. Why?
All right. And 2009.
Robert Downey Jr. is pretty good in that, though. He's a pretty good actor.
Pretty good actor. 2009.
Forgive me. Was he Iron Man?
Yes. You're forgiven.
I guarantee he's been kicked off a plane.
Stop it. L.A. coroner says Michael Jackson's death was a homicide in 2009. Intoxication by the drug propofol. I don't know. Greg, you're familiar with
propofol or Michael Jackson or homicides? None.
Neither, really.
0-3.
Yeah. So there you go. That's the stuff that happened. How about birthdays on this date? Okay. How about Paul Martin, former leader, country? George, how old?
76.
He knocks it down. George is cheating.
Again. Okay.
Okay.
But let me really quick. How far backwards could you go listing the prime ministers of Canada?
Oof.
And when would you not get it? Like, I feel like I go. I'm cheating. I'm looking at it now. Well, I'll give you a hint. Harper, Martin, before Martin,
Cretchen,
right?
Was there
Campbell,
like a Campbell?
In there? Keep right. going. You guys are doing Mulroney.
Yeah. Turner.
Yes, you're doing fine. You guys would be a great team.
Joe Clark.
No.
Ah!
Pierre Trudeau.
Joe Trudeau.
Oh,
Trudeau.
Back in there.
Clark.
Because it went Trudeau, Clark, Trudeau. Clark snuck in and was for 11 months. Man, Prime Minister. Not bad, guys. Very good.
Lou Piniella's birthday today, Greg. How old is
Lou Piniella's 70.
Say 72.
71. Split the difference. Yeah, not bad. Scott Hamilton, U.S. figure
the showman.
His showman.
That's his nickname. Showman.
Looks like Darren Pang.
Darren
Pang's admitted that.
He does.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
How old is the showman?
Scott right. Hamilton is... now, Darren Pang's triple Lutz is not nearly up to the same level. And Scott Hamilton's hockey commentary. Okay, fine. He's 54.
He's 62.
He is 56. And let's do a quick little country music guessing game here.
Shania. For who?
Shania Twain's birthday.
Oh.
I love Shania Twain. I don't...
She was at the Rogers Cup. We didn't know that. She kind of made a... She's very... wouldn't you say she's very reclusive now? You don't see her and hear about her often anymore?
Doesn't she live in like a chalet in Switzerland or something?
Would you recognize her if she walked by right now?
Yes.
For sure? I have no idea what she looks like now. What hairstyle is she rocking? Like, what is she...
Depends what floor I was on in this building. Inside bit.
On this floor, you'd notice.
No, not on this floor, you notice.
It's true. You would.
You're asking me how old she is?
Yeah.
53.
48.
49, correct answer.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
There you go, and the number one song on this date. 1997 was the year when the Notorious B.I.G. Mace and Puff Daddy had the big hit, Mo' Money, Mo' Problems. Story of my life.
Yeah, is it really?
No money, Mo' Problems, actually.
I work in radio, no money, more problems.
Exactly. I like the Diana Ross original, coming out better. She's like, I'm coming out. I'm like, you are? I don't know. Good for you, then.
I don't know either.
Congratulations and congratulations. 555. One for the archives. Brady and Walker, George Russick, a sports update next. On the show, lots of Jays talk and a big contributor last night that we hadn't seen in about 8 weeks. Why? Talk about it at 6:02.
Prices like no other. From a club like no other. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. The Jays get back above 500.
1-1 pitch. Hit the center field deep. Backboard Mookie Betts. Is this going to be the first run of the game? Yes, sir. There she goes. Home run. Jose Bautista hits 26.
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
No brooms for the Boston Red Sox last night. A 5-2 Toronto Blue Jays victory. Good morning, y'all. It's August the 2-8, 12 degrees now, 22. The high will hit 17 later on in the morning. A couple ladies were arrested for acting all weird on a Sunwing Airlines plane last night. Came back to Toronto. Maybe they can hang out for a little bit before they're incarcerated and see Derek Jeter get like a snowboard or something Friday night at Rogers Center. Either way, it'll be a dark night tonight. Marcus Stroman was excellent. 8-5 is the win-loss record. He pitched into the eighth inning. And no, it probably shouldn't change your mind about whether the Blue Jays are in the wild card race. They aren't. No, it shouldn't change your mind that you want to do some things in the offseason with this group. And we had a lot of debate yesterday even about John Gibbons on the show. But Greg Brady here, George Russick there. George, it should reiterate that you've got something pretty special in Stroman. And there were, of course, nights after he came up and started starting where he was going to get touched up a little bit. And I know Boston doesn't exactly blow your mind in terms of a lineup right now, but they got David Ortiz back last night. And after David Ortiz, he didn't give up a single hit from the 4-9 slot. He just started shutting guys down, a lot of 1-2-3 quick innings. And that's what we got used to with Marcus Stroman for that last start against the Red Sox, for the Saturday start against the Tigers, and they got a timely home run from Danny Valencia. That was great to see in the seventh inning. And but Marcus Stroman's a big building block. And so I guess you'd leave the last night's game somewhat pleased with what you saw.
And at least he's that glimmer of hope. He's a light at the end of the tunnel that you can see a guy that, yeah, they can have this guy in the rotation for hopefully years and be a guy who can dominate in this division. But, Greg, when I see him pitch, and I see him pitch so well yesterday, I think of an innings limit for him. Is there a purpose to keep throwing him out there? Do you want to risk anything, especially in September when, you know, essentially the Blue Jays will be out of this playoff race? When do you shut down Marcus Stroman, if in fact you do shut him down?
Yeah, I don't know. He's got 92 major league innings, but was logging a lot of...
Yeah.
Remember, he had a five-inning no-hitter, and they pulled him in the sixth inning in Buffalo because he'd gone... He was touching near the pitch count that they wanted to limit him to, and that was back in May, I believe. That was before his first call-up to be a reliever, so... It was real impressive, and as we talked about, this starting staff next year, not many American League teams could probably ink in the five starters they know they have, but I would almost make the case that the Blue Jays do, though I theorized about it 5-6 weeks ago, would they take an option on Jay Happ? Perhaps not, and not necessarily just because of what the last 2 or 3 weeks have been, but there is a team option. There's no buyout at $6.7 million. That's an expensive middle relief arm to have in the bullpen. Now, many people thought Jay Happ's career was done at the end of last season.
Yeah.
So when he actually kind of cut through up the middle after had some injuries in spring training and in the Grapefruit League season, got onto the team after he was off the DL, then started starting, then was pretty effective more nights than not, people were surprised. But again, he was on the payroll. It's sort of like Dustin McGowan's had all these chances because he got a contract a few years ago. Same story.
Well, when a guy like Jay Happ, we saw the increase in velocity, and it was a change of mechanics. And it's not like his arm's dead or anything, Greg. He picked up some velocity. And if Jay Happ's your fifth starter, is that really the worst thing in the world? No, and especially not in this division.
Or if he's your first guy out of the bullpen.
Right.
If he's your guy, look, his stuff, His resume, his cachet, his stuff is all better than Todd Redmond's. He's a lefty, Redmond's a righty, but it's all better than Redmond's.
Yeah.
I'll take my chances with Hap giving me two. If my starter is gone with one out to go in the fourth inning and I need somebody to get me to the sixth, I'll take Hap ahead of Redmond. Hap's a little bit older, just has that much more experience. But are you paying $7 million for a middle reliever? And generally speaking, some people don't want to do that. But I guess to get back to what I'm saying, Dickey'd be 40, Burley'd be 36.
Oh, yeah.
But then you've got probably four guys to choose from under the age of 25, and they all won't work out. Maybe we're most worried about Drew Hutchison out of a mix of Hutchison, Stroman, Sanchez, and Norris. And Daniel Norris has never faced a major league hitter, and Drew Hutchison has had amazing starts. He's probably had three or four of the most memorable Blue Jays dominant starts all season.
And who's the wild card in all this? We saw Brandon Morrow finally pitch a rehab assignment last night. The Blue Jays can pick up an option on him.
Can't see it, though, eh?
Like, do you really take another chance with Brandon Morrow? Or is it finally time to say goodbye to him?
I'd pay him the $1 million, and he's 30 years old, and he's out of here. Otherwise, you're paying $10 million. I don't know what their expectations are. Do you think we'll see him? Who's to say? I was going to ask you a question. It's hard to answer. I mean, will we see him start in September? Who knows?
And if he does, and if he comes in, and let's say hypothetically he has a couple starts and he does well, would that be the worst thing too? Because you see that there's always that potential with Brandon Morrow, but you just can't depend on that guy. And you talk about Jay Happ, he's a hell of a lot more dependable than Brandon Morrow.
Yeah, I'd say that. They've got calls to make. Let's also know Sergio Santos is signed for three more seasons for this team. They can buy him out and, again, pay somebody $1 million to go away. But you can only have that happen so often. You're going to pay Ricky Romero $7.5 million for probably not contributing to the Major League club again. And they'd have a big call to make on Casey Jansen. Maybe that's already been decided by Jansen himself, that he'd rather go back to California. His wife's from there. He grew up there, you know, spent most of his life there as a young kid. And if there's an opportunity to maybe even set up as opposed to close up. We've always interviewed Casey Jansen. He's always said, like Brett Cecil said, I don't miss starting. Brett Cecil doesn't want to start again. Brett Cecil likes doing what he is doing and being a situational guy and being an eighth inning guy as well.
You talk about Santos. Is he a guy that Alex Anthopoulos should maybe take a little heat on? Because when he signed with the Blue Jays, we all know he was a converted shortstop and that he had that fantastic season with the White Sox, cashed in with the Blue Jays, and that maybe this guy can't sustain this long term to be an effective closer in baseball. But the Blue Jays threw all this money at this guy because they had so much faith in him. And Greg, that was a big miss by the Blue Jays.
It was a big miss, and I'm glad you said that. I think the save number is a really tricky one to look at and analyze a guy. But you see 30 saves, and you go, well, the White Sox must have been pleased with him. But there's two things to point out. One, it was a really down year for the White Sox. I forget the guy who was closing before Santos, but he kind of blew up in early May of that year. I'm going to look it up. But he also had an ERA that was 3.55. His WHIP was high. He was putting guys on base.
Yeah.
You know, you can start an inning up 3-1, put a couple guys on, get out of it, and you get the save, whether you're effective or not. Santos has never been that guy that's just blown through people and shut them down. They were using Chris Sale as a closer that year, as well as Matt Thornton, who's now with the Yankees. So they were all over the map with closer, but they finally found a guy the last 4 months in Santos that they really liked. And like you, and like other people, I'm always skeptical of going that late into your career as a position player. It can happen the other way around. You can have more like a Rick Ankiel situation if the guy's got a stick. But it's another thing completely to say, we haven't counted on you for something for all through your 20s. You have been designed as a shortstop, and now we're gonna toss you into this position. And you're going to pitch. It's a real rarity. I can't think of guys that actually pull it off after if they switch that late in their career, not in college and not in high school.
You mentioned the name Brett Cecil as well, and he's been, to me, maybe the most consistent guy out of the bullpen, minus Casey Jansen the last few weeks. But we saw him with the All-Star season last year, and he kind of started off slow this year, struggled a little bit, but he's found his game, and he's that lefty specialist you just love to have out of the pen, and I can't see the Blue Jays bullpen without Brett Cecil in 2015.
So 6'10", George Russick, Greg Brady, it's a night off for the Toronto Blue Jays. There is baseball, daytime baseball, Yankees at Detroit. Tonight, Tampa at Baltimore, as the Orioles want to inch a little bit closer to wrapping up the AL East and keep the Yankees further away. Let's find out what else you need to know on this Thursday morning.
This is your Thursday morning six-pack. Six things you need to start your day.
Greg, number six, Doc Rivers is staying with the Clippers. New owner Steve Ballmer has worked out a new contract with the former Celtics coach for another 5 years through 2019. Is Rivers right behind Pop as the second-best coach in the NBA right now?
No, I don't think he's close to the second-best coach in the NBA. You know, I even look, he got a lot of harassment, but I'd even look at Frank Vogel in Indiana and the job they did just getting to the final. We don't even talk, obviously, about the coach in Miami. And maybe we should a little more often,
and
right?
Thibodeau in Chicago has
Thibodeau
done a
in Chicago
job
did a great job. And Dwayne Casey, obviously, there are a lot of people in Toronto upset he didn't get more more votes. The Clippers will be kind of fascinating because they got all that attention pre the Donald Sterling comments and pre the ownership change and whatnot. But they've been a team. God, you got Blake Griffin and Chris Paul. Sooner or later, got to get out of the second round. Yeah. Even in the West, you got to get out of the second round. They've been out of the first round two of the last 3 years.
Number five, USC cornerback Josh Saw has been suspended by the team after admitting he lied to school officials and us about how he sprained his ankles last weekend, retracting his story about jumping off a balcony to save his drowning nephew. School officials say they regret posting the story on Monday. Do you feel cheated right now?
Terrible. We played the Joey Scarbery Greatest American Hero theme. We were pumping this guy's tires.
What I want to know is, what was he doing to jump out of a second story window now? What's the real
story? The two theories that are out there seem to be he was breaking into an ex-girlfriend's apartment and then jumped from the balcony. And the other theory is he was with a consenting woman and another man came home and he jumped off the balcony.
Oh, snap. Oh, snap.
So it could be one of those two.
Snap.
I will say this. If I'm the 7-year-old nephew, I'm considering a lawsuit because he implied I can't swim. I can get up and down the 25-meter length of the pool fine.
That's defamation of character.
I can doggy paddle. I can do the jellyfish. I can do the starfish. I can see underwater. I'm angry at my uncle.
Number four, Josh Gordon's 2014 season is done. Don't take him in fantasy. The Browns wide receiver had his indefinite suspension upheld by the NFL for another violation of the league's substance abuse policy. Greg, you knock out your girlfriend, you get two games, you smoke a little weed, you're done for
the
year.
I know, but he is a repeat offender, and I'm not going to tell you that the one is even close to being as heinous and ridiculously disgusting as the other. But the rules are the rules. I think they should prescribe marijuana for NFL. I don't smoke marijuana. If I played in the NFL, I would. I know I would. I need a pain medication.
And I think that's all lost this as well as Jim Irsay. The guy with the briefcase full of prescription meds, 30-40 grand in cash in a duffel bag. Why is he not suspended yet?
That said, he's got to find a way to get structure. And sometimes the best structure is with a team. So now he's basically isolated with the team, can't see them, can't practice, can't wear a brown sweater. Like, it's pretty serious business. This is a really important year for him to get it all together, given the talent he's got. He's still young. I mean, if this is the worst thing that happens, he still might flourish as an NFL player.
Niagara Falls native at number three, Frank Dantevic, was bounced in five tough sets at the U.S. Open by João Sousa, Portugal's number one, Greg.
You just made that name up?
No, he is number one. Oh. And Milos and Jeannie both in action today. How did Jeannie look to you after watching her first round match?
Well, she won very easily, didn't she?
Yeah.
So now think about this. This could be like about an 11 o'clock start. She goes out after Andy Murray plays a second rounder.
Yeah.
Sometimes these women's matches start, if they're the second match out at 7 o'clock, they start at like 11 o'clock, 11:15, unless Andy Murray can dispatch a Matthias Botchinger early. We'll see.
And Jeannie's a big-time star right now in New York as well, getting a ton of attention. Number two, Mariners lose 12-4 to the Texas Rangers. Jays 5.5 games back of that second wild card. And the number one thing you need to know, the Blue Jays beat the Red Sox 5-2 to avoid the sweep and improve to 2-4 on this current homestand. The Jays kick off a three-game set with the Yankees tomorrow night right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, there you go. George Russick with the six-pack. We'll do it again coming up around 7:09. 12 degrees now, up to a high of 22 on this Thursday. Freedom waning for you kids that are about to go back to school next Tuesday. Coming up at 6:29. The head coach of the St. Louis Rams goes in deep on Josina Anderson, who reported on this Michael Sam shower business with the St. Louis Rams. We'll tell you what Jeff Fisher said.
Brady and Walker continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
6:22. We'll get to this Jeff Fisher, Michael Sam business involving a reporter, if you will, Josina Anderson a little bit. I don't know how many people saw yesterday. We talked about the Kansas City Royals winning. George Rusick there, Greg Brady here. It's Brady and Walker. The Royals won 2-1. Alex Gordon had a walk-off home run. I'm sure it's real fun in Kansas City right now. They're nose for nose with Detroit, trying to win a division and at worst end up with a wild card. They'd have to collapse not to get one of those two. But Ned Yost, their manager, sat down in his post-game news conference last night or two nights ago when they won this game and started just complaining about the attendance. They had 13,847 go through the turnstiles. Now, that is pathetic. I'm not Ned Yost. I'm not the manager of a team that George could have, you could argue, has been very irrelevant. I mean, almost since the likes of George Brett and Brett Saberhagen retired. We mentioned yesterday some of the players Johnny Damon passed through, Jermaine Dye, Carlos Beltran. I remember covering a Royals team that had Dye, Beltran, and Damon all in the same outfield, and you're going, wow, they might be good. And Mike Sweeney playing first, and you're going, they might be good. And then you realize they won't be able to keep any of these players. They won't be able to spend them. Those guys will hit free agency and fly away like birds. But Yost took it from a lot of folks in the Kansas City media suggesting he shouldn't. Now, two things. I know you and Jeff Samet, in for Jeff Blair last week, talked a little bit about also, I think I heard you talk about Joe Maddon complaining about Tampa and not so much who's going and who's not, but just they gave Derek Jeter a lot of love. A lot of Yankees transplants, right? A lot of transplanted Northeasterners. Live in Florida. And so naturally the Yankees draw great crowds. The Yankees and Red Sox draw great crowds when they play at the Trop in St. Petersburg. It is your team. If you're the manager, you are a figurehead, you're a spokesperson. And if you want to suggest that you're disappointed that more people aren't coming to the ballpark, I don't know that that's a call out per se of your whole community. You just want to see more people there to experience it.
And I don't know how the fans can't buy this team. We're in late August, and they're right in the thick of a pennant race. And it just reminds me of when the Pittsburgh Pirates became relevant again, losing season after losing season. Nobody's going to that beautiful ballpark in Pittsburgh, and all of a sudden they're relevant. They start jamming the stands, and you hope eventually things are going to head that way in Kansas City. But, Greg, not being in the playoffs since way back in 1985, maybe these fans are just not sold on this team yet. I just don't know why they wouldn't be sold on this team, and maybe they're just waiting for the roof to fall in.
Here's Ned Yost, his quote, "I know there's different things you can do. You can watch it on the internet. You can watch it on TV, but there's a real need for our fans to be a part of this. We had a great crowd last night. I was kind of hoping we'd have another great crowd tonight, and we really didn't." And a lot of columnists, again, Kansas City papers are, oh, that's selfish. What a stupid thing to say. But That's just being practical to me. That's being a guy that says, I want our fans to come out and experience this. That's the whole Winfield wants noise thing in 1992 when he basically said Skydome fans. There's 50,000 of them, but they're not loud enough. And I've heard that from this is a compliment to the Blue Jays fans to keep going and going and going. I mean, they had 30,000 there last night. Listen to some of the attendances across. Seattle's in the midst of a race, a lot more than Toronto is. They had 29 yesterday afternoon against Texas. Baltimore last night has only gone to the playoffs one time in about the last 20 years themselves, and they only had 20 for a game against the Rays. Like, if we were talking, I get it. White Sox had 11, right? A couple other teams had 15, but these are teams that are last-place teams, and September's coming, and football's here, and you lose interest in a lot of American markets. But here, I'll be fascinated to see where it goes, because the Jays go on the road next week, and then they'll come back. They play the Cubs for three games here, and it's not like the Cubs are a team I'm sure a lot of people have some emotion for, given there's some heritage there, I suppose, but it's not like there's somebody that you go, well, we got to go see that guy on the Cubs play tonight. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're not exactly a star attraction.
I would love to see the numbers from the Blue Jays when some of these tickets were purchased. When the Blue Jays were six games up in the division, why wouldn't you go online and go, man, I got to go to games in September. I could potentially see a critical game that the Blue Jays can maybe even win a division or clinch a playoff spot. I got to buy tickets now. I would love to see what the bump was in ticket sales when this team was actually good. And now a lot of those people saying, what what the hell, I might as well go. I bought the tickets. If we knew this collapse was coming, I don't know if these numbers are here right now. We're at that point where September's just around the corner. I think we're going to see a bit of a, or at least tickets sold more than usual for a team that was relevant, especially earlier this month.
Yes, that's a great point. And it's a two-headed monster. Like, take a market like Cincinnati. Cincinnati had 20,000 people there last night. They're averaging 31. And if you think just real traditional baseball markets, like I go off the top of my head, I go, think Baseball City. I never say New York, because when the Yankees don't do well, and when they didn't do well for 15 years throughout the entire 80s and early 90s, they were middle of the pack in attendance. I never think New York. I do think Baltimore. St. Louis is the first city I think of.
Boston.
I think Boston. Yeah. I think Philadelphia. And they've had a level of success, but I also think Cincinnati. So there's 20,000 people. They're done and out of. They're about as out of it, maybe a little more so than the Blue Jays. They've made the playoffs three of the last 4 years, and there's nobody going in Cincinnati. That said, the Jays attendance wise are middle of the pack. In case you're curious, they've drawn 29,000 people per game this year. And I think that's pretty good, given where the expectation of performance was going to be. And people are devastated and disappointed, I'm sure, in their front office, and I'm sure at Rogers, that there aren't going to be 41,000 people for every game in September, like I thought there would be had they been a first-place team. I was fascinated to finally see the success for the fans and the team, and also see, more as much from a curiosity perspective, how many damn people are going to go in September when everybody's lives change a little bit and your schedule changes, your kids, whatever. I was fascinated to see if they were going to get 40, 45 for huge games in late September that I think we all agree aren't going to be huge anymore.
And that's the frustrating thing for these fans who are yearning for a winner. And they go to these games, as you mentioned, 29,000. And Greg, we know with the travesty that is the infrastructure in the city of Toronto with the Gardner Expressway, it's not easy to get to a Blue Jay game, and people still get there. And despite all these headaches to make it down there, they're actually going down to the stands and going to see these games, especially on weekend games, Greg. Those Saturday and Sunday games
I know.
Are packed.
I hate the and I agree with your argument about the Gardner and the area around there. I drove down Monday and just I got to give myself almost 2 hours from Ajax to make sure I get there. And the first 40 minutes are spent getting to within about 2 miles of the stadium. And the next hour is spent in those 2 miles. So that said, the Dodgers lead Major League Baseball in attendance, almost 47,000. That's a hard stadium to get to at the best of times. Traffic in L.A. Joey Vendetta will come in at 9, tell us all about it. And he's right. So Cincinnati, I went to two games in Cincinnati 4 years ago, and I went to one of them was a 12:05 start, and it was the most oppressive heat I've ever sat in. I would go to less games. Like, I've bitched before that they don't open the dome on a nice crisp night in April or May when I think it should be open and there's no sign of rain, but it's 68 instead of 78, or it's, you know what I mean? It's 19 degrees instead of 24, so they don't do it. But Toronto's attendance is almost equal to Cincinnati, and we think of Cincinnati as this unbelievable baseball city. They've got Brandon Phillips. They've got Joey Votto. Texas is oppressively hot. They're a last-place team, and in Arlington, 35,000 a game. I mean, they're freshly removed from going to the World Series. There's no – I guess I always look at Toronto, and I think it gets a bad rap, and you see the empty seats, and then I look at the attendance, and school's barely started in a lot of American markets. And they're leaking oil pretty badly in some markets where there are Kansas City got. So they went from 13, I want to point out, to 17-6 last night. Their manager makes a plea, gets all the attention, takes all the darts, and they get 3,000 more people for a win against the Twins.
And everybody complains about the ballpark here, but you've been to Cincinnati. I'm sure the Great American Ballpark is a beautiful place to watch
it's
the game.
It's awesome.
Kansas City's
easy
all
to get
spruced
to.
Up again. Fantastic ballpark. Everyone bitches about how the Rogers Center is so cold. It's all about the concrete. And I'm not sure if real grass is actually going to bring in the fans. But when you look at all those parks, you're right. There is no excuse. That's a great place to watch baseball. The Rogers Center is nice, especially when the lid is open. But compared to those other parks, it's just not in the same
Even
stratosphere.
Seattle. We mentioned the Seattle Sounders in the MLS yesterday, who draw about 40,000 for an MLS game. Wow. The Mariners, you'd think there's real invigoration with the Mariners. The Mariners draw five grand less a game than Toronto. And that's not a city. That's not a city that's suffering in a recession. That's a city that's got people with money. That's got a lot of infrastructure, tech stocks and whatnot. and they can't get people to come see Robinson Cano and King Felix and Iwakuma. They can't. They're in a race. They're going to make the playoffs, and people aren't going right now.
Well, when the Blue Jays were in Seattle, I don't think I've ever heard a crowd that was louder than the home
team.
And that's all these Canadians up there watching the Blue Jays, cheering them on in Seattle. That was a fantastic environment for the Blue Jays. It was a pseudo home game for them. And I love to see the Mariners numbers too. What is their attendance numbers when Kings Felix pitches compared to when he doesn't? Because it's got to be a big jump. And what's
crowd? It was never that jump when Halliday was here. It was never more than a grand or 1,500 people when Roy Halliday would pitch compared to, Jesse Litch or some scenario like that. 6:32, I'm Greg Brady. He's George Russick. We're going to do best and worst at 6:45. Talk more about this Josh Shaw situation at USC. So last night, or yesterday, I should say, Jeff Fisher, who's the head coach of the St. Louis Rams, talked about this report. Now, we played you the report yesterday from ESPN's Josina Anderson, who has been silent on Twitter, and she did not do a report yesterday. She hasn't tweeted in a day and a half. When she asked the very relevant question during the Emmy Awards, is Breaking Bad that good? Welcome to 2007. Get it together. Yes. But Fisher said yesterday to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, they were headed to play the final. They were going to down to Miami to play. They're in Miami to play the Rams or the Dolphins tonight. So it's Rams-Dolphins preseason, their final game. Michael Sam's final game in the preseason. I'm extremely disappointed in her piece, Fisher said. I think it's unethical. I think it's very, very unprofessional. Not only the piece itself, the content, the manner in which she did it. Obviously, she came in all likelihood to see if there was going to be a roster move at the 75 cutdown as it relates to Mike Sam. That didn't happen, but she needed to do something. And it's my understanding that she manufactured this story. She was out of line because she went and contacted several players in their personal time, misled them with questions, and then put this piece together. ESPN president John Skipper has reached out to him and the Rams to apologize personally. I've annoyed PR people before. I have called players directly, but it's all been private conversations. Someone says, let's handle it this way. Let's do it this way. Protocol wise. But for Jeff Fisher could have taken, I wouldn't even say the high road, George, and just said, I was disappointed in it, but he goes pretty deep in on her and says, unethical, unprofessional, unconscionable behavior, misleading. That's pretty. When someone says that about what you do and your work and what you do best, it's going in pretty deep. And yet it's hard to disagree. If he feels that way, think about how some of the players feel.
I've been really impressed in how they've handled this whole situation as well. And that Chris Long tweet that get over your, we're over at ESPN. You should be over it as well. And since when did ESPN turn into the Fox News of sports? People in the States are so sick of all these, the Tim Tebow fiasco, this Johnny Manziel, and how they just blow up everything to the extreme now. When did that actually happen? And this is another shot towards their integrity, Greg. How can you take a network seriously when you're trying to dig up stories? You're skating that line to being like a TMZ-ish sports.
I mean, are they going to get to the point at ESPN where they have to take Josina Anderson off an NFL beat? She's been an NFL reporter for good or bad. We'll let other people decide for a half decade now, at least 5 or 6 years I've seen her.
Yeah.
And it may be troublesome for her to cover because the NFL players are big fraternity. Okay. A lot of these guys played college together. They know each other well. NFLPA stuff. If she goes even and is covering another team's locker room, people aren't going to trust her. 6:35, Greg Brady, George Russick. We'll talk about the potential for the Champions League draw today, which comes up at 11:30. That is on Sportsnet World, by the way. And also, a racial diversity friend study you won't want to miss. Chris Rock has an opinion on it.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Brady and Walker continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, 11:30, Sportsnet World this morning. They'll do the Champions League draw. Very, very exciting. This is Man City's year. There's just no... They've been very embarrassing in Europe the last couple of years. We'll see. I don't know, George, if you saw yesterday, Sportsnet picked up James Sharman and Craig Forrest were kind of walking their way through it. There was an Arsenal-Besiktas match, but then they had an extra time match in a second leg. Between, this is very difficult to say, Ludogorets Razgrad was taking on Bucharest, and it went extra time after full time, but they'd used all three substitutions, and then their goalie got a red card, so they had to put a defender in to play goal, and he won the shootout. Like, he won the penalty. He won on penalty kicks. The team did. Big upset in the match, but that's even more surprising. Cosman Moti made two shootout penalties. And of course, he's wearing a different shirt.
Yeah.
He actually made a penalty kick wearing goalie gloves, which are basically, like, think about garden gloves and then add a few pounds.
Yeah.
And he sent this Bulgarian tiny side into the group stage for a, imagine defenseman right. in the NHL having to put on the pads and go in and play an important shootout.
If you're the other keeper who gets scored on with the guy with the gardening gloves on, isn't that a little disrespectful to you? Like my counterpart goes
up there.
Take
your garden gloves off.
Right, right.
And you're shooting on. I would say that. Yeah, I think that's very reasonable. And yet they use a lot of keepers. I mean, yeah. Portugal's keeper scored on David James in the Euro 2004 quarters, Portugal and England. It was like, of course the goalie's going to score on
the vampire keeper, David James, because he was afraid of crosses.
He was afraid of, yes. Never made a key save at a big time. Very, very disappointing. So, all right. Very orchestral. We all enjoy that. 11:30 on Sportsnet World today.
Do you find it awkward when they do the Champions League and they just sit there while this theme plays instead of the national anthem? You don't find that awkward?
I love it. There should be a...
They like, just sit there and this thing just plays instead of an anthem.
Shouldn't there be a Stanley Cup? Instead of everyone coming onto the ice to Two Unlimited or Where the Streets Have No Name, shouldn't NHL players
zone.
Hit the ice to this?
Sure. And you just sit there and they just... Okay, is the song over yet? That
seems
just,
very
just the
reasonable.
Feeling I get.
All right, so a great study. We're going to get to this. We promise. Racial diversity friend study. Think about the 100 people that are closest in your life and then ask yourself, do I have very racially diverse friends? This is kind of a fascinating study. I love, again, people are really, they're right on the email right now, ready to email like management here or whatever and go, racist topic. It's a racial topic. I'm fascinated by issues of this kind of stuff. So we'll give you some of the results. We'll do best and worst, though, first.
Best.
Brett Cecil.
And
really?
Worst.
Oh. Brett Lindros.
With Brady and Walker.
There was a head injury involved. We don't know.
Best snowmobiler.
Rather insensitive.
That's...
Best player, worst player, best win, worst loss from last night in baseball. Let me give you a rather anonymous best player, George, and then you fire worst player at me. Sam Fald of the Oakland A's. No, I agree. He went to Stanford. He must be smart. But he stepped up and maybe had one of the biggest hits for the A's last night. They're heading into this four-gamer in Anaheim against the Halos. And Sam Fald... goes 3-for-5, but more importantly, a two-run home run, top of the ninth, to lead a 5-3 come-from-behind win, a three-run ninth inning. Chris Carter had a home run the bottom ninth over the Houston Astros. And I know what everybody would say, it's just the Astros. Asked the Blue Jays a few weekends ago about the Astros. But Oakland gets the win and goes toe-for-toe with Anaheim. Anaheim's still one game up. They're the two best records in Major League Baseball, but Sam Fold, number two hitter, came through in the clutch last night.
And they're going to need guys like that for the rest of the season because losing Cespedes in the middle of that lineup to get John Lester there, they'll need contributions from guys like Sam Fold if they want to make a run into the playoffs. My worst player, David Price, started for the Tigers yesterday. I know your heart is sinking right now. 9 straight hits, 2 innings pitched, 8 runs all earned with 1 walk, 3 strikeouts in the Tigers. 8-4 loss to the New York Yankees. Good thing the Blue Jays didn't get that guy.
Which guy?
David Price.
Oh, I see. Okay, you want to give him? How about Marcus Stroman, Drew Hutchinson, and Brett Laurie? Sign the papers. I'll let you have David Price for a year and a half. Yeah,
he'll stay here long term.
But that's a very, very bad start. Word yesterday, Tigers will lose Anibal Sanchez for the rest of the regular season. So Price may have to be. He's only got maybe 4 starts left. So, God, can you imagine a team that traded for either David Price? And I don't think the A's will miss. But you trade for David Price, and then you miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
Think about that.
And well, Rick Porcello, we were talking about the issues they got to make now. Well, at least their decision-making got a lot easier with Anibal Sanchez.
It should have, yeah. All right, so I'll go worst loss last night. Got to give it to the Seattle Mariners. We mentioned a bit of a paltry crowd, but they got worked over by Texas 12-4. And I know it was a night when neither Iwakuma or King Felix pitched, but Erasmo Ramirez gave up 10 earned runs in 3 innings. And Seattle's bats obviously couldn't respond. They lose 12-4. And everybody who won last night gains a game on the Mariners. The way it stands, though, the Tigers losing helps Seattle still a half game up.
Best win. The San Francisco Giants walk it off with a 4-2 win over the Rockies. Buster Posey hits a walk-off dinger. Frisco a game and a half up on both Pittsburgh and Atlanta for that second wild card. Greg, when does the name Buster get weird? At what age?
When she did not use it?
Yeah, like when?
Like, what, like, should Buster Posey become something different? Is what you're...
Like Larry Posey or something.
Like, well,
Chipper Jones.
That's a good question. Yeah, but is he going to be Chipper forever?
I think so.
You think he is?
Like, when you're a 54-year-old Chipper, isn't that a little weird?
Yes. So, yes, a 40-year-old Chipper.
When Buster's playing career is done, does he stop being called Buster? Or is it time to maybe...
I'd go Buster Posey was born Gerald Dempsey Posey. Gerald Dempsey Posey the third. So, do you, come on. You know, you could be at the DMV. Gerald! Or at the dentist.
Jerry Posey.
Yeah,
Jerry Posey.
Jerry Posey seems reasonable.
Right.
Yeah. So you don't want him to be Buster at once he gets deep into his 30s.
Yeah, that's a little strange.
Or if he breaks his leg a second time. I think whichever comes.
That wasn't good.
First at the end of the day. So this study from the Washington Post. I love this. The headline leaped off the page. Is it really true that 3/4 of whites don't have any non-white friends? They did a study. The Public Religion Research Institute, Robert Jones, you know, he does great studies, basically says, let's consider the average American, and they try and say each of them have 100 friends. And if you tried to break down their respective friend network by race, what would it look like? This can sometimes be based on who you live, like your neighbors. I think I live in a diverse neighborhood. I work in a diverse workplace. But does that sound ridiculous? If I said out of 100 friends, 85 or 88 probably look like me. Like, should I be branching out more? Is that even low for the average person? I don't know. Don't be uncomfortable.
No,
just tell me what your friends look like.
No, when I grew up in Niagara Falls, and we had one black kid in the whole school.
Yeah.
So I just went to elementary school and just wasn't like that. And people in Toronto, all this ethnic diversity, I just didn't grow up around it.
I know. That's
I was
a good
friends
point.
With them. And a Jamaican family moved into the neighborhood. We hung out with him. We played sports on the street with him and everything was fine. There was no, but when it comes to my really close circle of friends, I have a 2 or 3 friends, 25 plus years I've been friends with. One of them's native. That's as diverse as it gets. And one's 1/30th Métis, if that's.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah, if that's any way diverse.
In a 100-friend scenario, this study says the average white person has 91 white friends, one black friend, one Latino friend, one Asian friend, one mixed race, and 3 friends of unknown race. Get some research. Get some DNA tests. The average black person has 83 black friends, 8 white friends. Comes in handy for volleyball and stuff like that. Water polo, you know, sports that African-Americans love to play. 2 Latino friends, 0 Asian friends, 3 mixed race friends, 1 other race friend, and 4 friends of unknown race. We should just all get together and watch Do the Right Thing. And that would sort it all out. Ryan Favreau, producer. Now, I don't even want to know how many Italian friends you have out of 100. 60? 65?
Okay, first of all, I'm married, so I have like 4 friends.
I know, yeah.
What was the point of this study, though?
I think it's kind of fascinating because you want to know what your friend network is. Basically, here's what they're saying. Blacks have 10 times as many black friends as white friends, but white friends have 91 times as many white friends as black friends. Think about that. Like 80. So a black person would have 80 black friends, 8 white friends. We go the other way. Right. And 1 black friend for every 100 friends that a white person has. And I agree. How do you have 100 friends? It's ridiculous.
Well, when you're like 20 or something like that.
I also like my friends to be less athletic than I feel better if I was the least athletic in my friend group. Like, I don't want to be friends with too many guys with great abs or anything like that. I don't care what color they are.
I agree with
that. Don't be too hot. Don't be making me look bad.
But that study's from what? D.C.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's in like Toronto.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
It would be obviously a lot of different races here in Toronto, this melting 100%. Pot of authenticity. But when it talks about how many, you know, compared Toronto to D.C., yeah. what is the diversity there of people living in D.C. compared to Toronto? I would think that Toronto has a lot more people from a lot different places.
Chris Rock has a great bit on what happens when he listens to rap music with his white friends. Here it is.
Sometimes I'm with my white friends, and the Dr. Dre song will come on. And there's a lot of in a Dr. Dre song. And they want to enjoy it, but they can't really enjoy it around me. So they start taking out the or mumbling. And it's just a sad sight to see. It's just sad to see some white person trying to do a rendition of a Dr. Dre song. It's just depressing. And they're trying to rap along without saying like creeping down the back street on knees. I got some McGlock cock because I don't know what the I'm saying. Tick-tick-tack like that and I never hesitate to put a
So I thought about going. I almost went to a Public Enemy show, okay, about 6 months ago. I loved Public Enemy when I was like 18 years old. And then I thought to myself, what if I, yeah, if I start singing lyrics, you know, because I am all about fighting the man. I do want to point that out. I've been against the man for a long, 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 long time.
You have not.
I don't care how corporate you think my soul is. I've been against the man forever and a day. And I'll always stand firm against the man. Radio Raheem, I was with that guy when he wrecked Saul's Pizza Place. Again, second Do the Right Thing reference. No?
I thought we were going OPP, yeah, you know me here.
Well, I'm not down with OPP. I do not support that kind of
behavior. For sure we were going that way.
I do not support that kind of behavior. But I've been in these situations before. I remember being in a suite at a Pistons game to show you how white I am. And two black friends of mine are talking, and they start dropping that word between each other. And I'm just, there's literally like, you know how you're in kind of a triangular conversation?
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of nodding and going, yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to talk for the next 2 minutes or so.
That's all you can do.
That's all. You just kind of nod and go, mm-hmm, uh-huh, funny stuff. Yeah.
I've never seen Ryan so uncomfortable in racial slurs in my life.
Those racial slurs you're sharing between each other, they're great. Fight on, brother. All right. We'll give away Toronto tickets for the Yankees game. August 31st coming up when we open up the Blue Heron Charity Casino, Brady and Walker ticket window. And Adam Van Kuvernen will join us at 7:20. He'll be in the Pan Am Games next year. His thought on the infrastructure going up all around Toronto. And, of course, 2 years removed from another Olympic medal 2 years ago in London 2012.